In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My name is Monty Meyer, and I work for the Minnesota North District. I have the longest title in the whole world. I'm a mission and ministry facilitator for parish life and nurture in the Minnesota North District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Huh? It's one of those cards. My card goes from one side, and the title continues on the other side. What that means is I'm here to help. I feel like Ronald Reagan. If any of you guys knew Ronald Reagan, he said, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. And, my job consists of helping congregations and pastors and Lutheran schools and teachers. I work with campus ministries and the missionaries that go there. I work with communication in the district, from all things from how the newsletter comes out to social media and things like that. I'm an all-around rah-rah kind of person. I'm the one that kind of gets things going. The thing in the Minnesota North District is that a lot of churches are in what we would call survival mode. They just kind of want to, they're hoping to get to the next year. And I think there's plenty of opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's so many people who need to hear the good news that God has sent his son Jesus to take away the sins of the world, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In this community in Rice, for example, over half, probably more like 60% of the people who live in this area either don't believe in Jesus Christ as Savior or who have disconnected themselves from a regular church life. What an opportunity that we have to tell others, and how easy it is to do that, to simply say, you know what, we want to talk to you about, we want to invite you to church with us. You have a great church, what a beautiful facility. You know, I was back here in the Minnesota North District in the 90s, and I kind of chummed around with your founding pastor, Pastor Markshausen. How many of you remember him? So I remember we had a conference here, because we were both on the evangelism committee. And we were going to teach crotchety old Lutherans to do evangelism. And crotchety old Lutheran pastors there. And we fought in the back about what kind of songs we're going to sing, because he wanted to do more contemporary. So he says, you know, we're going to get in trouble. Just leave it alone and let's get, you know. So I go way back with Pastor Mark. So we had a really good time trying to help other congregations. And I'm still doing that today. And so is he. So today, I want to talk to you about taking back the family. Look, you see it up there. Take back the family. I want to focus on Joshua, what we just heard today. You know, how many of you voted this last week? Did you vote? Raise your hand if you did. You're lying your butts off here. Did you really? Okay, that many, that's great, you did. But you know what? I had the person that I wanted. Now I'm kind of conservative, but I'm going, okay, but I want someone to win. So I voted for, I'll tell you, I voted for Plenty. Okay? Well, he was the guy, and he didn't get there because, you know what? I think Minnesota figured that two terms was plenty. Get it? Get it? That was a stupid joke, wasn't it? So now I'm a Gary Johnson guy. I don't even know who he is, but I'm now. But I mean, you know, and it doesn't matter where, you know, people have their opinions on what politics are there. But we always think that okay, if we get our guy in or our gal in, that maybe things will change, that maybe things will get better, that if we just get the right guy, drain the swamp, or you know, it takes a village, whatever we have, if we get that person in here, maybe America will be a little bit better. Is it getting better? Not really. I mean, okay, we may go, okay, I like this economic policies of President Trump and all this, or I wanted Hillary Clinton to be in here, and I think that should be better, and we should tax the rich, or I don't know, whatever. And we always think, okay, that'll just fix things, and it doesn't. You know, policies and taxes or cuts and this and that, they all might help the bottom line or maybe help us, but what America needs is to take back the home, to take back the family. We can try to legislate ourselves with the right judges and all the right people to lead us. And I mean, all that stuff is important. I'm not saying it's not important to do that. It's our God-given right here in the land of the free, the home of the brave. But really, if we want to change America, we need to change it in our homes. We need to take back our families. And some of you have family, some of you are by yourself or whatever, but we understand that whole thing. As the home is strengthened, as the home gets closer to God, that serves the whole community and our whole nation better. Do you agree with me? It really does, and I want to talk a little bit about that today. Flip the page. He said, who's running that? Are you running that up there? All right. This is what they said. Now therefore, God says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. I'm used to going backwards. I'm not used to having on the back. I'll stay here. I had this on campus. We never had the fancy things like you did, okay? Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for as for me and my household, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Now remember, in those days, they were just getting out of Egypt, you know, Charlton Heston led them all out of Egypt, right? Is that how that goes? Moses did, you know, watch the movie Ten Commandments. And they kept on running back to the gods of Egypt, and they kept on getting in trouble. And this was a common theme all throughout their life, all throughout the Old Testament, that they would struggle with idolatry. And finally, Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Flip the page. What? Okay, shoot. They don't come down. Okay, shoot. I usually have them. They come down one at a time. But that's okay. We'll work it this way. What gods do you need to put away? And what I mean by this is, okay, now in Israel's time, they had false gods. Well, we may not be worshiping Baal or Asherah or going to, you know, worshiping the devil, but we have things in our life that are gods. What is taking your eye off of God during the week? What are those things in your life? Those things that take your eye off of living as a believer in Jesus. What sin is fighting for position in your life? What is the thing that, and I'm not talking, you know, we all sin, we all have struggles, but I'm talking about those things that really take our eyes off of the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life that we have in Jesus. Those are the gods that fight us today. Those are the little things that take our eyes off of following God. The value of repentance and faith in Jesus to restore. This is what's so critical. When Joshua said, choose this day whom you're going to serve, he's calling us to repentance. Where we have fallen short, those things in our life that take our eyes off of the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ, we get rid of them. And that's why every day we wake up and say, Lord, or before we go to bed, we say, Lord, these are the things in my life that has just been piled up. I have not loved you like I should have loved you with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I haven't loved my neighbor as ourself. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I dump all that sin before you. Stop carrying it around and know that in Christ you're forgiven. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again to pay for all of your sins. Jesus said, it is finished. And when he died on the cross, it is finished means all of our sins are washed away forever. So every day that we start is a new day. But we need to put away those gods that take our eyes off of Jesus. Next. It's time to choose your direction in life. Now that doesn't sound very Lutheran, does it? Choose? It's a part of the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, it is. The Holy Spirit's the one who calls us to faith. Yet, what path are we going to choose in life? The problem in America is that there's a lot of people who believe in God, have this kind of belief in a God that's kind of like a grandfather figure that's kind of out there that really doesn't come into my life unless something's really bad. They actually have a name for that God. They call that moralistic therapeutic deism. How about that? But it's time for us as Americans, as Christians to say that, you know what, if I want to change the world, if I want to change the way our nation is going, then maybe I need to make that decision to put God first in my life, to conscientiously every day look for opportunities that I can give him glory and strength for what he has done for me in his Savior Jesus Christ. Time to take that path. We're not going to change the world through the elections. Maybe it'll help for a while. Maybe we'll be able to get some judges in that. But the heart and soul of what made America great was that we had freedom to do, to worship God as we see fit, and that was grounded by some great biblical truths, you know, that, and we've kind of lost that. So it's kind of time to choose that direction. And I'm not even saying for our country to become Christian and that we have Christian leaders. I'm kind of an agnostic about that. It's kind of funny because I don't think that. I think that as it's more about what's happening in our lives, in our homes. We just want leaders that will allow us to have that kind of freedom. But I think we as Christians, we will change the world as we follow him and as we look for opportunities to make a difference. I want to talk about that for a second here. Flip the page. He said, be careful then. This is in Ephesians. How you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. It's pretty interesting. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I'm firmly convinced that we have around 5 years to really, as a church body, to get things going. I would encourage you as a congregation to run as hard as you can in this community to get the word out that God loves people and that God loves sinners on account of his son Jesus Christ, and to work together to help bring people into a knowledge of their Savior Jesus Christ, because it's getting tough in America now. It's getting tougher and tougher to stand up for what we believe, and we need to be strong congregations here, making the most of every opportunity. But it starts in your home. It starts with your children. It starts with your grandchildren. It starts with your spouse or your aunts and uncles, your cousins, your friends and neighbors, to bring them around to know Jesus as Savior. Flip the page. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you missing one spot in there? Is there one you missed? Okay, I'll cover it for you here. All right. There's another slide. Okay, there we go. See, you're awesome. All right. How can you serve God as a part of a family? So this is what I encourage you to do. Number one, lean on the grace of Jesus Christ. Come to church. Worship him. Lean on his forgiveness every single day. We're not going to be perfect, but we are forgiven. And God loves sinners on account of his son, Jesus. So let's lean on his grace. Let's love your spouse. If you're married, love your spouse. If you want to honor God and make a difference in your home, love your spouse. This is the one God gave you. You know what? If you're married, that is your soulmate. A lot of people are looking for their next soulmate. Your soulmate is the one that you're married to right now, the one that God has given you. Yeah, you can fight with a soulmate too, but he's still the one. Love and teach your children. That's a really important thing right now. There's so many things that are distracting us from following God, especially in schools, especially in society. Teach your children to know Jesus. Teach your children the way of the Lord. Teach them by example and by your words. Learn how to talk about the faith in your home. And then finally, learn to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. A huge part of life is that we let the love of Jesus Christ leak out into our homes, into our families, into our lives, through our lifestyles, so that people can know the power of God's love and forgiveness. Finally, let's go to the last one here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can't change our nation. We can't change the directions of what we're taking unless we start working in our homes. The hope for America, the hope for the world, is that people know and confess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. So let's start right in our homes, and that's enough for today. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.